Rabbi, so let's move up to Perek Yudgimel. Perek Yudgimel, Lu Perek, Kedaber, Ephraim. Can Rabbi say? Can Rabbi, can we begin?
Order in the class.
Order in the koif. Okay, after Perek Yudgimel, Kedaber, Ephraim, Reseis. Nosohu bi Yisrael, Vayesham, Babal, Vayomoist. Many interpretations. Who is Ephraim in this pasuk, this continuation, the previous psukim? As we all know very well, that the chapter breaks in the Nevi'im and Chumash were not done by Jewish sources, were done by non-Jews, by Christians, and certainly Chazal would never put a chapter break in between these Pesukim. Pasuk Tezvav, clearly, all these Pesukim from Pasuk Yud Gimel, it clearly goes all the way through into Perek Yud Gimel. This is another very clear example of where, what were they thinking? What would they think over here to go put a chapter break? Especially when we're discussing here Ephraim, like Pasuk Tezvav and Pasuk Aleph, it's clearly the same idea. Sometimes you begin to wonder that when they put chapter breaks, and this is definitely, there is truth to this, is they knew the Pshat. They knew the Emes of Pshat. They did a Lahachas. They did a Lahachas as a way of making a statement, the Christians, to attempt to express themselves to defile Yadus. And you know, I think one of the best examples of that is the case of the Nachash. Okay, the Nachash, the first Perek Beis in the beginning of Chumash, is they deliberately went and they let me show you that example. I think this here is another very good example of where it's too pashat not to make a chapter break. And if they're making a chapter break here, they're making a statement. It's not just ignorance. Some mistakes are done from ignorance, some mistakes are done lahachvah. They say that to be an apikoyres, you can't be an amoritz. You have amol, you have people who are atheists, you have people who are apikoyres, and they're thoroughly ignorant. You can't even call them apikoyres. In apikoyres, you have to be a talmud chacham. You just can't be an apikoyres. You have to know your stuff. I'll give you an example. Okay, I'm just talking on top of my head from memory, and that is the first parak in Chumash, okay, in the Torah. Where does the first parak end? The first parak ends. Well, this is very interesting in general. Vayechulu. That's not the example I was thinking about. Vayechulu Hashman Baris V'Chol Tzavam. This is totally ridiculous. Let's look at some examples. In the Chumash Bereishis, where is the beginning of parak Beis? Perek Beis is Vayuchulu Hashamayim V'Horetz V'Chol Tzva'am. Vayichal Lukim V'Yom Hashim. This is Shabbos. What? Is that where you put the first chapter break? Don't you think if you want to make a chapter break, even the secular source, you put the first chapter break after you finish Shabbos? Eile Soldois Hashamayim V'Horetz Bihi Boro'om. Right? Doesn't that make logical sense? When we lay in Parshas Bereishis, where does the first Aliyah end? The first Aliyah ends after we finish Vayichulu. We go through the seven days of creation. And Simchas Torah, Chosan Torah, where does Chosan Torah end? With Vayichulu. In fact, the Minigiz, the whole Tzibur lays together, they lay every day, and you finish off together, Vayev Avoker Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. And then we get to Yom Shishi, everyone lays together by Yechulu Hashman Aretz. So what in the world are the Christians, the people, whoever went and took the Torah HaKadosha and broke it up into chapter breaks, what were they thinking when they put Perek Beis? Perek Beis is Pasuk Aleph, Perek Beis is Vayechulu Hashamayim V'Aretz V'Chol Tzavah. Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. So, and this is the Old Testament. What were they thinking? The answer is they knew what they were doing. They did this lahachas. This is clearly an act, a deliberate act. It's not an act of
ignorance. What's the point that they were
making? Because they don't hold a Shabbos. Because they hold Shabbos is Sunday. Sunday. So it's a state.
But the Aseres Dibros clearly says the seventh day is the Sabbath.
No, not necessarily. It all depends
why
on the cat.
Maybe they're
not giving credit. What?
They didn't think
of the Lahachas. Okay, so that. Okay, yeah, I don't. You have to research. You have to research this.
It can't be random.
you can't research. Shabbos is something that's so fundamental, and yet in Christianity, it's one of the things that separates ki oisi beini uveinecha. And this is something that Christian ideology. I don't know these things well at all. But obviously, Shabbos is the biggest problem for Christians. They change Shabbos from Saturday to Sunday, and they completely rejected Shabbos. And Klal Yisrael ki oisi beini uveinechem. We know. Just as Shabbos, the Jew observes the Shabbos keeps, listen to these different expressions, Yad was a Shabbos in Halacha. If a person is a Shomer Shabbos and he is in violation of all of the other mitzvahs, it's Chazer, he's not Nizer and Tarsam Mishpacha, v'chulu, but he's a Shomer Shabbos in Halacha, that goes a very long way in him being considered to be an observant Jew. And if a Jew is mevatik in every single mitzvah, but the only thing he does not do, he's a machal Shabbos, that's it, he's out. So what are they doing over here? Obviously, it's not an accident, it's not ignorance, it's done it's done as an act of rebellion. I'm saying this, it's pshut darvam pshutim.
We really should look at the other places.
Yeah, that's right. So now go to the Nachash. Another example is go to Paragimel. Where does Paragimel? Paragimel, the last pasuk of Perek Beis is Vayu Shnehem Arunim, Ha'adam V'Ishto V'lo Yispoi Shoshu. Then Paragimel begins. V'Hanachosh Hayo Arum Mikol Chayas Asodeh. Asher Osa Hashem Elokim V'Yem El Aisha. Why do they put a chapter break between before they begin the Nachash? The according to Rashi, if you look in the Rashi. Chof al vanochash hoya arum my inyan zelikan hoyle lismech vayas ladin lishtoi kosnais or el lamdecha me eza siba kofat sanochash alehem ro isam arumim viasukim betashmish linyan ain call venesavet. Rashi clearly learns that it's connected one to the other. Okay, now, I don't remember, I'm just talking from memory. I remember hearing that this by Christian theology. The Nachash is very choshev.
Yeah, original sin.
There is, but Rashi is telling us there is no parasha psucha, there is no parasha stuma between the words Vayihyu Shnehem Arumim Adam Yisha Velo Yispo Shoshu and the next pasuk. They did have Rashi.
They didn't have.
They did a lahachis. They don't believe. They
put it in after they had the debates.
Okay. I don't.
That's when they first evolved.
Okay, but there was they certainly the people who made these chapter breaks knew it's not an act of ignorance. They have the Old Testament. They read the Old Testament, and then they decide where they want to make chapter breaks out of convenience. They knew I'm just saying it's very logical that they knew what we have. They knew the Rashi's. They knew the Mefarshim. They knew. Yadus, in fact, the Christians are Jews. Many of these people, they really started out as being Jews, and they went off the derech. They became Apikorsim. They, well, they're very different. There are many different versions.
No, Rashi was 1100.
There are many different stages. There are many different stages in the development of Christianity. That's Yadua. How many Yashkas were there? There were at least two. That's a given. And there might have been three. And there's no question the earliest traces of Christianity begin with Shuben Prachia. It goes back in the middle of the Bayis, Sheni. When did it begin to flourish? After the Churban, or during the time of the Churban. But that wasn't the end. It kept on going more and more and more. The time of the Tanoim, it kept on developing. It's not a simple thing. At some point in time, they came along and they took the Torah and they made chapter breaks somehow, some way. It's not how this happened. We know it's not really clear why it became accepted in Klal Yisrael to use the chapter breaks of. Because the debates is most easy and convenient. Okay, so I have reference, but that the whole Klal Yisrael, there was a one-time event, had such a major impact that L'Doyri Doyris, every single person, every single sefer in the world, when you refer to a pasuk, you're going to come on to
who owned the printing press? 1200. The first
Aliyah. What's 1200?
1200. Okay, whatever it is. Who wrote the printing press?
Bromberg.
Gutenberg.
So he had control of how the book is being printed. Simple.
Okay, fine. Okay, you're right. There are many factors. There are many factors.
They could have done it from the English version. They didn't have to look at the Hebrew version.
So why do we accept these chapter breaks?
I don't know. That's how it is.
So it's powerful.
It's
why are we accepting it?
It's
no, the reason you accept it. Go back to the writer's bay. You have a debate between a guy and a Nazri and a...
You need a point of reference.
And they would throw psukim out.
You need a point of reference.
Huh?
You need
So the Yid always said that you would say Alma means this. Yeshua says this.
Right, you need a point of reference.
Where Yeshua said they're going to look through it, so they made the pages so they can
chapter
say
it was done. Right, a reference point. You have to be able to find somehow. Look, we know in the modern times they tried to make a new set of chapter breaks in the Koyrein. The only Chumash that I know that has the new chapter breaks that was made is in the Koyrein Chumash. Open up any Koyrein edition of Chumash. They have both. They have the traditional, what we have in the art scroll, and then they have the new chapter breaks that was made by the Gedolei Hadar. I don't know, it goes back like 100 years, maybe a little bit more, and it was not accepted. Even if you look at the Koran Chumash, you just get mixed up. It's very confusing because they have two sets of psukim and parakim, and I always get very confused when I open up the Koran and try to find the pasuk
specifically as a response.
Exactly. And somehow, even though it's very logical, it was done certainly by, I don't know the history, I'm sure it was done by the biggest Gedolei Yisrael, and yet it was not accepted, never took on, it never has a mazel. Hakol toli b'mazel afilu sefer Torah shabehechol. So, now, I just want to make a point over here. You go into Chumash, and this happens every so often when we have these chapter breaks, and the chapter breaks, you know, you would say just ignorance, the common, you know, you don't ascribe any deep thought to it. Okay, you know, everything has to be a certain number of psukim. You don't want to go more than 30 psukim. You want to finish off an inyan. You got to put a chapter break somewhere. So they just threw in a chapter break, big deal. It wasn't done with much thought. Happens to sometimes you look in the Rashi, look in the Mefarshim, and you say, what a foolish thing. What a foolish thing. You should have got another 3 psukim, another 2 psukim. Even I, who knows from nothing, if I would have made the chapter breaks, I would not have put it over here. I would see what it says in Rashi. So why do they do it? The person who did it didn't have access to Rashi, wasn't exactly the biggest scholar. So he did this. That's what you tell children. But the more you study, the more you see, no. It appears the people who put the chapter breaks knew exactly what they were doing. They knew what it says in Chazal. And these were people who are apikorsim and are trying to damage the fiber of Klal Yisrael, the fabric of Klal Yisrael, and they lahachis did things to mislead us, to misguide us, and to make trouble. It was done with very great chokhmah, very great intent, drawing upon their corrupt ideology, trying to poison the MS of Yadus. And that it's consistent. You go through this, the more you study, the more you'll see. I'm just trying to make that point over here that this is extremely bizarre. And the more bizarre a chapter break is, the more you got to ask, oh, what are they trying to do over here? Obviously, they knew something which bothered them to no end, that Yadus, and in response, they did something very drastic. And that wakes us up. Wait a minute. So what is the MS? What is the MS that they are trying to distort?
Who are the they you're referring to?
The people, whoever these mysterious people are, who wrote...
Jewish day or non-Jewish day?
I don't know. They were apikorsim. They were probably Jewish who became apikorsim. That's more and more likely. Yashka was Jewish, no?
French Bible that had chapter headings.
French Bible. But weird.
Chapter heads.
Yeah.
And then they had many different versions. It was an archbishop had one version, a cardinal different version. And in the 1300s, there was a Yovah Kasab Ashishi, they sat down.
The Achriya
Bnei. They decided which one to accept.
Okay, if you look over here, over here in Perek Yud Gimel is one of the most stark changes, plays where from the Mefarshim. when I spend some time hearing almost all of the Mefarshim, when they explain Pasuk Yud Gimel, they almost view the Pasuk Yud Gimel, the first Pasuk of Pasuk Yud Gimel, as not even a break in a Pasuk. It's almost like Pasuk Tezvav and Pasuk Aleph is the same Pasuk. It's not just that there should not be a chapter break, there should not even be a Soif Pasuk. The theme of what we're discussing, Hiches Ephraim Tamruim, Ephraim has conducted himself, has angered Hashem with acts of rebellion, of bitterness, V'dam of Allah Yitosh, the blood that he spilled will come and haunt him, will come spread upon him, V'cherpasa Yoshev Lo Yadonav, Hashem will bring upon him his own shame, Mida K'neged Mida, Kedaber. Now when did this happen? Everyone, when did this happen? What exactly did Ephraim do? What exactly did Ephraim do to anger Hashem with acts of rebellion? Pasuk Aleph explains. Kedaber Ephraim Reseis.
So why did you repeat the name? If it's the same pasuk, all you have to
say is the derech.
Kedaber Reseis. He doesn't say Vedam Ephraim Olam, he says Vedam Avolam.
All right, it's a question. It's a question, but it doesn't... We're going to see... I hear you saying it's a question, but it doesn't seem to bother the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim seem to say that it's seamless. It's seamless what appears in Perek Yud Beis and Perek Yud Gimel. So why then is there a break right smack in even the Haftarah? This is after Parashas Vayetze, and the Haftarah begins with Pasuk Yud Gimel and goes all the way until Pasuk, all the way until through Pasuk Hey. So it doesn't stop here. It continues on. So what is going on? Why then is there a chapter break in between? Obviously, there's something over here that bothers them very, very much. It's bothering the Christians very, very much. It's a direct challenge to their ideology. So we have to try to uncover. When we look at the Mefarshim, we have to keep this in mind and try to see. There are some hints. We'll go through the Mefarshim, keep this idea in mind. There's something that eats them up alive about the continuation of going from Pasuk Tezvav to Pasuk Aleph that demands on their part to try to poison us by creating a separation between the two. But being that that's Sheker and the MS is they both belong together, this here is an example of where we can find a rejection or a degree of emes, a chiddush in emes, something about our hashkafa that is essential. Yeah.
Do you think they try to interpret Pasuk Tezvav in some sort of Christological way?
I don't know. Possibly.
Because like a kind of
I
maybe
think,
make it into some sort of displacement theory.
Yes, that's what I think it's hinting to. Shalom Aleichem, welcome from Eretz Yisrael, a holy person coming from Eretz Yisrael. You bring with you the Kedusha, the Admas Kodesh. Yes.
Very, very negative about Klal Yisrael.
Right.
This is what they love.
Right. So it seems, on a very simple level, they love this pasuk. It all stops here. Hiches Ephraim Tamurim. Think of this from the perspective of the Noitzrim, the Christians. Ephraim is Yaseres HaShvatim, or for that matter, the entire Klal Yisrael. Sometimes the entire Klal Yisrael is called, he's discussed this many times, is called by the name of Ephraim. Hiches Ephraim Tamurim, V'damav, look from their perspective, V'damav Olav Yitosh. Right, the blood that they killed, Ephraim has anger, let's say from there, they killed their God. What's called deicide? How you pronounce it?
Yes, that's correct.
Deicide? Or diocide? How you pronounce it? Deicide. Hiches Ephraim Tamurim. Ephraim has angered Hashem with an act of bitterness by basically killing their God. V'damav Olav Yitosh. The blood, their sin, the blood they've spilled will one day spread upon them. V'cherpaso, the shame that the Jewish people, what they've done by killing their God. Yashiv lo Adonav. Their master, who's the master? They probably learned, so who knows who? I mean, we don't even begin to imagine what they think the word Adonav means. Will be returned upon them. And that's the end. Period.
Yeah.
There's nothing more to discuss from their perspective. They're finished. End of the perek. Zehu. Zehu. You understand? This is not just oh, an accident, the computer broke up the psukim in a certain number. No, there's a lot of chokhmah. A lot of chokhmah bo'amin tamin. Doesn't just mean chokhmah in science, it means wisdom in the apikorsis. Yeah.
Same thing, the end of Shemot, that's very, very famous.
All over, the whole chumash. You tell children, like, okay, just for convenience, the amaratzim. They're not amaratzim. They knew what they were doing.
Yes.
Very deliberate. Very deliberate what they did. And this is something, obviously, which is very appealing to them. Very, very, very heartwarming for them. And that's where we need... They want to stop. There's nothing more to discuss. But they're wrong. They're wrong. Why are they wrong? Because if the Pesukim go on and tell us, we didn't kill their God. What it says over here, the next thing is coming to explain what it means over here, Vidamav, it's referring to Vayesham Babal Vayamos. It's not killing their God, it's because they worship idols. It's because, as Rashi tells us, their sin, the Tamarurim, was the behavior that the Klal Yisrael had towards Shlomo HaMelech, the split in the Malchus, and everything we're going to see in the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim, and the Mefarshim explain the next Pesukim as a very clear defining, the next Pesukim define with clarity what it means, Pasik Tezvav. But they say, don't confuse me with the facts. I don't want to know what you have to say.
Two separate instances.
Yeah, don't confuse me. This is what I'm going to preach. In my church, this is what I'm going to preach. This is what I'm going to say in order to arouse all the hate, all the anti-Semites to rise up against the Jews. Look, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Hosea, how do you say Hosea in English?
Hosea.
Hosea, it sounds really good. Hosea. And they quote you chapter and verse. I once had a guy, I could not believe this. It was Erev Shabbos, and a UPS guy comes, he gives me a little teeny package, I don't even know what it was. He gives me a package, and it's Erev Shabbos, and he's weird, and he's a Shartza. And he sees that I'm Jewish, and he just starts talking to me about the Bible. And he goes on and on and on, and he would not let me go. And a lot of the stuff he said was good. It wasn't not because this. He was telling me about Ephraim and Menashe and Yosef and the Brochas. He had good stuff, you know. He had good chidushim, I can't say. And I was mesmerized that this guy, this Yedius of Tanakh, is far superior to mine and far superior to most people that I know. And it was very disturbing. Like, wow, this guy really got it. But if you don't study Tanakh, you know, he can fool you. If you don't know what he's saying, you can see some happy courses, just like this pasuk. It says it in the pasuk. Hichas Ephraim Tamruim, Vdama Vulav Yitoshi, as exactly what you just said, referring to their god, Yashka, and therefore the Jews are disgraced, and the Ribbono Shel Olam
is talking 500 years before Yashka.
No, don't do that.
This prophecy. Whatever, they'll interpret this, they will interpret, it's prophecy. They will interpret this upon, and it really opens up, it sheds an enormous amount of light on the chapter breaks, not just here, Dova Shem Bechlal, V'yotza V'nechlal L'lamed, L'lamed L'atzma Yotza, Ella L'lamed Al Kola Klal Kula Yotza. When you see an example like this, something which is so obviously not a place to put a chapter break, and they're putting a chapter break, and you get a taste of what they're trying to do, opens up your eyes. Every single chapter break in Tanakh, they are making a statement. And we can use it as an advantage to us. If something is bothering them, there's what to be bothered by. That means there's something here in the continuation of the Psukim, which is a Yesoid in Yadus. And we can take advantage of these chapter breaks. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we allowed these chapter breaks to enter into our Sifrei Kodesh, because the MS is in these chapter breaks are Yesoidos of Yados. The fact that they're trying to make a chapter break over here opens up our eyes to show us, don't separate these two psukim. The combining these two psukim, these two sections, is itself a Yesoid in what Yados is all about. And that can be an advantage. You know, I know, unfortunately, I know a fellow who's a Hasidic fellow. It's about Mr. Meshuggah. The guy's a genius of geniuses. He's a Baal Kriya Sheed. He's like my mother. He knows every mil el milara, every loyalty. And when he lands in a Hasidish place, he bedafka, whenever it's milael, he'll lay in the milara. Whenever it's milara, he'll lay in the mil. Stam a Hasidish fellow doesn't pay attention. Doesn't even know what milel milara is. So everything is milael. No, Mila'el. Everything is Mila'el. Everything is Mila'el. But Hasidim, like Yiddish. Everything is, no matter what. No matter what. Even if it changes the meaning of the pasuk, it doesn't make a difference. You lame everything Mila'el. Because you have to stay away from diktok. You don't want to identify with the maskilim. Tzioinim. You have to, the Mizrahi, Dati Lumi, the maskilim, you got to stay far away. But this guy, this fellow, he knows diktok. So he's mahader. The few times when taka, it should be Mila'el, when the taka should be, so the Baal Kriya, the Hasidish Baal Kriya, by chance, happens to be doing it the right way. No. Here, Bedafka, he does the Milara. Ad kibay kach. Right? Okay, so there's what to be said about that also. But here, this is Namamish example. Every time there's a chapter break, oh, no matter where you are, it's the evil genius at work. The evil genius at work, and we can use that to our advantage to see, oh, there's a Yesoid in Yadus here teaching us that you have to combine these two sections together. Because there's something was bothering them to put a chapter break here. We have to figure out what it is, and that's to our advantage. Okay, now let's see over here. Now let's try to get.
By the way, someone who was fluent in the Bible, familiar with chapter and verse, was said to be well versed. That's where the expression comes from.
Well versed, okay. Let's now, with that hakdama in mind, let's now begin. Kedaber Efraim Perik Yigimel. Kedaber Efraim Reseis Nasachu BeYisrael VaYesham BaBal VaYamay. So, what is that? We have the word Reseis is an unusual word. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos. We always do first the Mitzudos on page 187. Kedaber Efraim Yeravam Habam Efraim. So, the Mitzudos, we won't go over here. A disagreement among the commentators: is Efraim referring to an individual, or is Efraim referring to the entire Aseres HaShvatim, and the third Aseres HaShvatim, that's the question. So the Mitzudos take sides, and he says this alludes to one single individual, Yeravam ben Nevat. He kishadiber bira'ada devarim kashim lechiach eshlomo. He spoke bira'ad with terror. It's a very powerful word. He spoke up, page 187, in the Mitzudos David, on the bottom. In the Mitzudos David, Pasuk Aleph, bira'ada. So reseis is an unusual word, which means terror. He spoke very loud. People were afraid. He spoke with such harshness and such tekifus that people were frightened. You come to a drasha and the preacher speaks with fire and brimstone. The people in the audience, they get frightened. Who knows what's coming next? This man is a madman or whatever. Different dimensions of his. He gets your attention. He certainly got the attention of the people when he spoke. When he spoke out against Shlomo HaMelech, he was the whistleblower, the ultimate whistleblower. When did Lohichiach Shlomo Kabo Shneamar b'Malachim Alidei Zeh? Now, because of this, we learned yesterday. We're going to come back to something we learned yesterday in a few moments, because there's really a steer in Rashi, and I really touched upon this thing with the chapter break, which I want to go back to, and that is Alidei. He spoke out in reward, and over here, the Mitzudos is focusing on the positive element in what he did. It was a good thing that he did. It was a good thing that he spoke up against Shlomo HaMelech and a reward for what he had done from Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem dispatched Achiah HaShiloni to anoint him as a king. He shall be the new king of the Aseres HaShvatim. He was legitimized. Hashem gave his haskama that what you have done to criticize Shlomo HaMelech was correct. What if Shlomo see the Gemara in a few moments soon? Basically, Shlomo HaMelech, on the day that he got married, on the day of the Chanukas HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishon, the night before he married the daughter of Paro, a political alliance in order to bring the entire world Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, and in celebration of what he did, of marrying her, he needed more space. He needed a place to house his new wife. She was accustomed to royalty, to a lavish palace. So he took public property called the Milo. The Milo is public property where specifically, we'll see in Chazal, Talmidei Chachamim would gather. It seems from Chazal, if he would have taken public property, he'd go and take in a park where people play cards or children go on the swings, even though that's a terrible thing to do. You don't take away people who need to play cards. They have a need for that. There's a reason why there are tables that people play cards on. There's a very important use. And then the children also need their swings. Okay, we all know that. But he didn't go take away the public park where the swings and where the tables were for this. He took away a place where Talmidei Chachamim would gather to learn Torah. And he took this center, this open area for Talmidei Chachamim, and he said, leave, I need this space for my new wife. We're going to convert this into a mansion as a home for the daughter of Paro. And in response, so Mamash, he was Mamash L'Shem Shemaim Torah. Yeram ben Nevat, can you imagine? He's the one who was Chayti Machli as Gans Klal Yisrael. It all started with a macha of you denying Talmidei Chachamim the ability to learn Torah. Gius. You're denying the Talmidei Chachamim. It all started with Shem Shemayim. What are you doing to the Talmidei Chachamim? You're taking away the Milo. And Hashem says, you're right. You're right. How dear. Who do you think you are, Shlomo HaMelech, to go and to deny a gathering place for Talmidei Chachamim? This fellow, Yeravam ben Nevat, is correct. And I'm going to show the world he's correct by taking away the Malchus from you, Shlomo, and giving 10 Shvatim to Yeravam ben Nevat. And this is going to be sanctioned by a Navi, Achia HaShiloni, and he's going to anoint him. Ad Kedei Kach. It was only meant to last one generation. It wasn't meant to last 200 years. That's another story. So that's what it says over here. That's why Al Yidei Zezach LeHisraimim was merited to be elevated, the Yisrael Limlech Aleim. But what happened to me became corrupt. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. He got a little carried away, became an extremist. The Chashachota Babal Nidra Min Olam. However, when he began to sin by worshipping the Baal later on, by making the two calves in Don Beisel, the Agolim, which seemingly is associated with the Baal. Again, we're not familiar with all these different things about Avodah Zarah, all the different idols, who's who in idolatry. The who's who. But somehow it seems that the Agolim is also part of the god called Baal. He was removed from this world. And now let's go back to the Pasuk. Read the Pasuk inside. Kidaber Ephraim Reseis. When Yeravam ben Nevat spoke words of terror, to who did he speak? Who's he talking to? To Shlomo HaMelech. In regard to what? How dare you take away a place, the Beis Medrash, this beautiful building, that is a place for Talmidei Chachamim, and give it to the daughter of Paro to make a political alliance with Egypt, the world power, in order to bring Mashiach. Torah is more important than bringing Mashiach. That's what he was saying. The learning of Torah is more important than your political alliance with the world power to bring Mashiach. That's how important Torah is. Naso hu bi Yisrael. Hashem says, correct. Yeravam ben Nevat is correct. Torah, Talmud Torah, is more important than politics. Even politics that will result in the Mos HaMashiach. It's not what it says here. I'll show you more in a moment. But what happened? He was an extremist. And being an extremist is a very dangerous thing. Because to go up and be a whistleblower against the Melech of Klal Yisrael, of Shlomo HaMelech, that takes quite a chutzpah. That takes quite gall. It's a very, like Pinchas. Like we learned yesterday, he was a kanoi. Pinchas was the ultimate kanoi, and that's why Hashem had to temper his kanois with V'nasati lo yisbrisi shalom. Pinchas, you're great, but if I don't go and protect you, don't give you the midah of shalom, you're going to be out of control, and who knows where this is going to lead. This was the downfall. The maila, life is always a double-edged sword. Something which has the greatest potential for good has the greatest potential for harm. Look at the smartphone. Look at technology. Technology is noyidavoy in both ways. The good, the bracha, the incredible convenience, the chef of Torah that comes from technology, our ancestors would not believe. would mamish not believe that you can go hold in your hand a device and have in front of you the whole world on your fingertips. Yet, we all know, Rahman al-Islam, the Khurban that technology can bring. It's always the mitzias of the world is Zeh le'uma Zeh bara Elokim. Yerav ben Nevat, he had the midos, he had the qualities that were 100% on the mark. But unfortunately, those same qualities can lead to gaiva. And when he saw that there was going to be some conflict between him and Rechavam, he did not want to come face to face with his counterpart, Rechavam. So what did he do? No, I'm going to make my own batei mikdashos, Basel and Don, and have agolim, and set up sentries. No one can travel to Yerushalayim. And one thing led to the next, and before you know, everything spiraled out of control, and the Aseres HaShvat, and because of him, disappeared off the face of the earth. Zel umazev ayesham babal, he became guilty, babal, by worshipping the babal, in choyte umachli es klal yishol, vayamos, and he died. Let's immediately jump to the Likutei Shas. Let's jump down, not over here. I want to show you the very important, in order to explain this idea.
Where does it brought down, he wants to bring the Sheikh?
By marrying that's in Sefer Melachim. All the Mepharshim say that. By Sefer Melachim, why do you have to go marry all these wives? What was the purpose? Yeah, you needed to marry the daughter of Paro.
They were converted.
The whole Shiloh, to what degree did they convert? There's a whole dilemma about that. What exactly was the form, the nature of the Geirus? But in any event, the purpose was to bring them by marrying the daughter of Paro. So now Paro has a vested interest in the success of Shlomo HaMelech, because Shlomo HaMelech is his Edom, his son-in-law. Okay, so for your son-in-law, you do things you would not ordinarily do. People would never in their wildest dreams move to Lakewood. Now, they tell them 20 years ago, you're going to move one day to Lakewood, they wouldn't believe you. And now, my son-in-law lives in Lakewood. I'm going to move to Lakewood to be near him. They never would imagine they would sell their house in Brooklyn to move to Lakewood. People do things... When for your son-in-law, for your daughter, your son-in-law, you would never imagine. So Shlomo Melech.
The new five towns.
The five. You know what are the five towns? Tell us. Lakewood.
Brick Hill, Lakewood, Tons, River, and Jackson.
Okay. So I thought those were the five boroughs of New York.
Five towns is more.
Okay. So this was a political alliance, and there's a Chazal that says it really. It says the words of the Gemara really, they really say it all. Let me see where it is. One second. I thought it was on the bottom, but it's not on the bottom. Let me see. One second over here. No, it's not here. We're going to see in Rashi. Okay, we're going to see it as we go along in the Mepharshim. I don't remember where exactly, but we're going to come to it. Okay, let's see Rashi now. Okay, let's go to Rashi. We'll find this in a moment. Rashi pasuk aleph. Kedaber Ephraim says, "Kishikine Yerovam lamokayim v'diber kineged Shlomo dvarim koshim." When Ephraim, he learns like the mitzudos. Ephraim is a code word for Yerovam ben Nevat. Kine, he was jealous, a good jealousy. Okay, jealousy can be good and bad. We have in last week's parsha of the Saita, the husband has kina. He's jealous. He's
no,
jealous.
No.
It's not a good translation of the word jealous.
No, it's incorrect.
Yeah.
Look.
Kine is Hashem is a kel kano.
Yeah.
What does it mean a kel kano? A god of vengeance.
Zealous.
Zealousness? No.
Yeah.
Kano means
look at zealot.
A zealot?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kel is that the translation of kel kano?
What follows the word Yerovam?
Kishakine Yerovam Lamokoim Hashem.
Yes.
So Yerovam
on behalf of
Hashem. Now, I don't mean zealous.
Yeah.
Kine is more of it bothers you.
Okay, and that's what
we call a kanoi. A kanoi is a colloquial word. It's not the real translation. Kine really comes from the word jealousy.
He's jealous of this man.
No, it's not. It's a good jealousy. I feel bad for Hashem. I feel
so
Hashem's pain.
Protest.
So you protest. But it doesn't necessarily mean you do an act of zealotry. The way we translate zealotry, it means like a kanoi. You'll go, you'll burn a flag, right? You'll go and you'll do something. You'll go see a woman in the street. A woman in the street who's not dressed properly, you'll kill her. So that's how we translate kanoi. That's not what kanoi is.
Yes, that's what he did, because the way he did it publicly and in what...
No, that's the next step. That's the next step. The next step was he publicly disparaged, gave him Musar. But the word, I don't know, you have to look into this more. If I'm not mistaken, the translation of the word kishikini does not necessarily mean to act. It means... He did protest. That's a late... That is a secondary step. Okay, but that's a secondary step. It starts with emotion. The word kinei, I'm trying to suggest, and I believe there are sources for this. You have to study this more. It is an emotion. The emotion leads to action. We use the word kanoi only in reference to the actions. But the literal translation of the word kinei, kishikinei, means the person is overwhelmed, is filled with emotion. What is the emotion? I feel your pain, Hashem. Hashem, I see that something in this world is being done that is kineged your ratzon, and I feel your pain. Emotion. And then what do? Then I take action. That's the next words. V'diber. Okay, fine, maybe I'm wrong. I'm just trying to throw an idea. V'diber kineged Shlomo dvarim kashim. And thus, what did he do? He stood up and he said publicly, that was his mistake. That's already that we learned yesterday. But Rash, no one seems over here to mention that. Everyone seems just to focus only on the good. V'diber, he spoke up, kineged Shlomo, dvarim kashim, uvira ada, and that's the word reseis. That's the word reseis. He's coming now to translate the word reseis, which has no parallel in Tanakh. It's a one-of-a-kind word. We'll see in a moment. Shrei melech gadol ha-yishlomo. How dare you go and you speak up publicly against the king of Kal Yisrael? He has a Navi Shlomo melech. How dare? Look, go back to the Mitzudos David. What does he say about the word reseis? In the Mitzudos David, is there a Mitzudos David here? We find the page. Reseis, inyin rad. Inyin rad is terror. Kmo yochazemo ro'ad tirgim unkles ach dinun reseis. So it's an Aramaic word. The word reseis is not a Hebrew word. It is purely an Aramaic word, and somehow it crept into this pasuk, and that itself requires bear why we would describe his emotion with the word, with an Aramaic word instead of a Hebrew word. Okay, the next words, Vayesham Abal, Kevan Sha'ala Ligdula, Vayesham Avodah Zarah, he was Oil Ligdula, and he became dealing with Avodah Zarah. Vayamos nichras beis Yeravam v'chein beis Achav. His entire family was cut off. The Yonis and Tirgim. Now he gives a new interpretation. This interpretation is quoting the Targum. He's telling us that the word Ephraim is not a reference to a single individual. Ephraim is a reference, and it could very well be also, it's referring to his Shevet. I told you in the beginning it means either the entire Aser Shvatim, or it means an individual. There's a middle ground. And that is, it refers to Shevet Ephraim. A very interesting insight.
Ben Yaakov and Ephraim.
Well, Shudashal Nikro, Ben Yaakov and Ephraim refers to the entire Klal Yisrael.
That's right.
Yeah, or refers to Aseres HaShvatim. But there's another interpretation that the Targum is saying, and that's a very thing that we overlook 99% of the time, that in this interpretation refers to specifically Shevet Ephraim. From all of the Shvatim in Klal Yisrael, it's an amazing idea, which one demanded the most respect? When you would come in contact, when you would come in contact with a member of Klal Yisrael, so sometimes, you know, even today, you go walk in this, you come into a shul, sometimes, he's a nice fellow, and sometimes the person makes an impression upon you. You like yesterday, we had over here, a very tall chacham, you know, he spoke, he makes an impression. He has a koyach. You know, there's a certain gift, there's a certain yirah shamayim, which translates into the ability, into a certain, creates a certain impression upon a person. From all of the shifted Klal Yisrael, the one that made the strongest impression upon the world was Shevet Ephraim. when you had to send representatives to the United Nations to represent Klal Yisrael and to make a good impression, who did Klal Yisrael send? A member of Shevet Ephraim. They were very dignified people. Yeah?
You have the term Ephrasi, which means a person of nobility.
Nobility, yeah. Exactly. So this is something we don't hear about very often, this idea. And it was Shevet Ephraim. And where does it come from? The Brach of Yaakov. Becha Yivarech Yisrael Leimar Yisimcha Elokim Ke'Ephraim V'chim Nashe. Menashe also.
Yeah, but then it says, by Yosef it's Ephraim.
Lifnei Menashe. So Ephraim was even higher than both Yosef's children had this dignity. Benos Soada, it comes from their father. Benos Soada Ale Shur. What's the pshat? All the girls in Egypt.
He was the first rock star.
He was a rock star. What's the pshat? What Yosef? Yosef was a Ben Torah. He was a yeshiva bachar. Since when does anyone have respect for yeshiva bachar? You have yeshiva bachar. He was a yeshiva bachar for Yosef. And when he walked down the street, all the Egyptians, who are these Egyptian girls? In Egypt was Shetufei Zima. It was the Erva Saaretz. Yet, a person who has Yira Shemayim makes an impression. True Yara Yishraim, when this yeshiva bachar walked down the street, even the girls, who are Shetufei Zima, the lowest of the low, they were in awe. They stood on top of the wall, they climbed the tops of the wall to get a glimpse of who this person was. That was Ephraim, that was Yosef. And the brach of Yaakov is, this should be true for all generations. So here it says, and this pasuk over here emphasizes this point according to the Targum. It's an amazing pasuk, which unfortunately we don't hear about. Each pasuk, one after the other, hits on all the yesodes, all of the yesodes in Klal Yisrael. Okay. Okay, so it says over here, what does the Targum say? V'yodasim tirgim, kad malel chad, when a member, midabes Ephraim, when a member of Ephraim, of Shevet Ephraim, would get up in public and would speak, risseso ochei lohoi le'amimaya, all the nations of the world would shake. They would tremble. The impression that Ephraim made when he spoke, his impression, his dibur, was so awe-inspiring, people listened. They shook. Doesn't say this in regard to members of Shevet, Yisachar, and Zvulun, and Yehuda. No, Ephraim had this koyach, the fear factor. Okay, I have a friend who's a menahel. He's not anymore. He used to be a menahel, and a certain yeshiva was there. We grew up, we had a very good menahel, Rav Chaim Siegel, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. They should have put out the book already a long time ago. The book is being rewritten. They wrote a book, and the book where they spent a lot of money on the book, they hired the best author they could possibly find, and they wrote the book, and they presented the book to the Talmidim of the family, and they said, it's a very nice book, but this is not the person. This is not the person who you refer to. So the book sat on, the manuscript sat on the shelf and collected dust for a couple of years after they raised enormous amount of money, and they interviewed so many people all over. They spent so much interviewing and sending letters and this. It's a great book, but it's just not the person that you're describing. So it sat on this shelf collecting dust, and now they decide, we have to do it. So they gave all the material to another author, a woman. This is, they gave it to a woman. A woman to rewrite the book. Take the book, the manuscript, take all the material that's been collected, to analyze it, to study it, to horava, and to rewrite it. One of the things that no one really understood about him, Rav Chaim Siegel, and we appreciate it now, is he had this thing that we call the fear factor. When he walked in the room, everyone was afraid. Just being there. Why? Why are we so afraid of him? Where does the fear factor come from? When he would come in the regents. He would practice, you know, there were problems in, like, in all yeshivas of cheating on the regents. Right? There were problems cheating on the regents. You have practice, people, all the shtick that goes on. So when things got out of hand, he practiced the regents. They put everyone in one big room, and he sat, and he sat in the desk, and he practiced the regents. No one cheated when he practiced the regents. It wasn't shyach. The fear factor. So I have a friend who's a menahel. He's not a menahel anymore. He's a menahel. So he says everything he does somehow, like, he made such an impression upon him. He always thinks how Chaim Siegel, how he did this. He tried. Yes, but nothing works. Why does nothing that he does works? Because he doesn't have the fear factor. The boys are just not afraid of him. So if you're not afraid, it's all nonsense. Ephraim, Shevet Ephraim, had this koyach called the fear factor. When they spoke, it says in the Targum, when Ephraim was Malel, when Ephraim went and he spoke, it just says, it's an incredible Targum. Kad Malel Chad Midbeis Ephraim, when one member, any member from Shevet Ephraim got up to speak in public, it says, saw terror, Ochei took hold, Yochazemo Ra'ad. Terror overtook Lahoin La'amimaya, over the nations of the world. Mid Rav Ravin Havoi Bi Yisrael. And then they increased. That's a new expression. Then they were elevated because the Goy had such respect for the members of Ephraim. Ephraim was elevated not just among the Umay Sa'ilam, among Klal Yisrael, but when the Gaiva got to them, when the arrogance, they saw they were honored, they were held in high esteem, they got a little arrogant. Okay, like Yishman, Yishudin, Vayivat, Kavod can really do go a long way. When people have respect for you, you get a little carried away with yourself. You think you're so great. The chadu dechavu bepulchan tavasa. So when they became guilty of worshiping idols, then miskatlin Hashem cut them down. They went all the way up. They got arrogant. Vayishman yishun vayivat. They worshipped idols, and they were cut down to nothing. So we have already two perushim of what exactly this means. Either it means Yeram Benavat specifically, or refers to the Shevet Ephraim. Was well respected, obviously, from the brach of Yaakov of Yisimch Lokim ki Ephraim v'chimnasha. Now let's go to the Radak. Radak kedaber Ephraim says mitchila. Now here we come to the Chazal that I mentioned. It's very, very important. The Chazal is a powerful Chazal. It's in pasuk. It's in pasuk base. We have to get there. We'll get there a little later. But let's see pasuk Aleph and Radak on page 187. Kedaber Ephraim says mitchila kaidem shechatu Ephraim, before Ephraim sinned. He's obviously learning Ephraim as a reference to the entire Aseres HaShvatim, not just Shevet Ephraim like the Targum, and not Yerov Ben Nevat. We're referring to all of the Aseres HaShvatim who are called Al Shem Ephraim, HaYemoyroho Al HaAmim, Asher Svi Vaisav. The nations of the world were afraid of Klal Yisrael. Ki Bedabro, when they would speak, Bedabro, he's not specifically referring to Shevet Ephraim, Ki Bedabro, HaYeoiches Reseis U'oda, anyone in the world that would hear Ephraim speak was had respect. They were afraid. The Hoya Ram the Gadol b'shivtei Yisrael. You know, I mean, he's learning like the Mount of the Targum. He's learning over here. Shevet Ephraim. Shevet Ephraim was well respected, and everyone was afraid of him. The Hoya Ram the Gadol b'shivtei Yisrael. The commotion Nemar Lav. The Zariyim Meloy Hagoyim. The Baruch of Yaakov Avinu. The Zel Shiamar. Nasuhu b'Yisrael, he was well respected. Kloimar, Naso Roishai b'Yisrael, he was the most distinguished tribe of all of Klal Yisrael, Shevet Ephraim. The Kevon Sha'osham Babal, when they became guilty by worshipping the Baal, Mace, they died. Kloimar, Nigav Lefnei Oivav, they were smitten for their enemies, Kilu Mace, as if they were died. So he's learning over here that does not mean literally they came to an end. He's learning over here figuratively that they were smitten, they were punished. They were humiliated. They were humbled. That's exactly what Targum Yonasan says. He elaborates in the Targum. When one member of the tribe of Ephraim would speak in public, what would happen? Then all the nations of the world were overcome with fear. Mid Rav Revin Havo Bi Yisrael, they became thus exalted and respected in Klal Yisrael. The Chadu Duchavu Al the Polchul with Havasa Miskaltin, and when they sinned by worshiping idols, they were cut down. Okay, now let's take a look at. I just wanted to make one other interesting point: is who was the one who were the dry bones that Yechezkel brought back to life? Ephraim. Why? What were they doing here? They left Egypt 30 years in advance. They made a calculation that the 400 years begins with the birth, with the bris ben Abasadim. So isn't that interesting that it was specifically Ephraim who felt confident against the wishes of the rest of Klal Yisrael, the time now is to leave. It's very fascinating. You take all these Mefarshim together, whether it's Yoram ben Nevati, who was the whistleblower. He had the will, the oiz, the chutzpah, so to speak, to go up against Shlomo HaMelech. Ephraim was the most well-respected shevet. When they spoke, they were the representatives of Klal Yisrael, the nation shook. This goes all the way back to Mitzrayim. They felt the time of Geula is now. And they took the matters into their own hand and they left. They left Egypt 30 years early, before the rest of Klal Yisrael. And they were told not to do so. That's not. They felt, no, we're right.
Told them not to do
I have to assume the good Amram, the Gedolei Hador. Who was their Amram? Amram was on scene. Who was the Gedolei Hador until Moshe came on the scene?
Amram.
So Chayra Amram told them, you're making a big mistake. Obviously, you have no idea. We know the Chazal don't tell us all the details, but obviously there was a very big debate what to do. It says in the Torah, it says 400 years. It's now been 400 years from the Bris Ben Absalom. L'chayu, we're right. We're right. Don't tell me we're wrong. I have to prove to you that we're right. 400 years. So what's the Shaila?
Everybody's the same Shemayim.
But they, you can be right, but you can still be wrong. So you see that the Midah, it's kedai to take note that the Midah of Ephraim is consistent through and through. It goes all the way back to Yosef. Yosef, he was able to overcome the Ashes by Tifar. He was able to have the stamina to go up against a whole. He was like the Isha Ivri Ephraim. He's there in Egypt. No one's watching. No one knows, and yet he remained a Yareh Shemayim Es Elokim Ani Yareh in such a sviva. It is impossible. Talk to any psychologist. Any psychologist across the board will tell you that a matzav of Yosef, a 17-year-old boy in Egypt. For how many years was he in Egypt until Yosef came? He was until his father, until 30 years old. He became up when he was 30 years old. And then when his father came, how many years was there? 22 years? 22 years.
He was in jail.
22 years. Talk to any psychologist and they'll tell you this is impossible. The story in the Torah is impossible. Cannot be. It's not humanly possible that a 17-year-old boy in such a situation who was sold by his brothers, the psychological impact of what has happened to him, to be taken down to Egypt and to live in the land, a shetuthei zima, a 17-year-old boy, the prime when his hormones are on steroids, and to be oimed in the nisyonis of ervas haaretz, impossible. People crumble in seconds. Though they have in the army, Rahman Lutzlan, they have professional psychologists when a soldier, Rahman Lutzlan, is taken captive, and they have secrets. They know of all of the secrets, the state secrets. And how long will it take until they'll crack? Until how much torture? And they analyze. They have these situations where the guy is thinking, what are you going to do? So they how long can we continue to have faith that the soldier did not give, that the hostage has not given away our secrets? A week, 2 weeks, he's going to crack. They're going to torture him. Everyone has a breaking point. 22 years. It's not possible. It was an awesome, awesome act of Yirah Shamayim. That's incredible courage. That went down to his children, Ephraim and Manasseh. It went down to Ephraim. They wanted to leave Egypt 30 years early because they had that courage. It comes out in Shevet Ephraim as a whole. Shevet Ephraim, as this pasuk says, Yuseis. Nasahu be Yisrael. It comes out in Yerav ben Nevat from Shevet Ephraim. Had the will to go up against the authority. Shlomo HaMelech, what are you doing? How dare you? How dare you shut down the Beis Medrash because you want to convert the Beis Medrash into a palace for your new wife? Torah Talmud Torah is more chashuv than making political alliances with the world superpowers. So it all goes down to the roots. Okay, let's now take.
Yeah.
Let's now go to the Malba. The Malba. No. Let's first let the let's talk and see. This is what I want. This is what, the Marie Kara. The Marie Kara is really amazing. The Marie Kara lately. Do we have Marie Kara? All along we had Marie Kara. Yeah, we always had, but here lately Marie Kara really woke up. He came to life. Yes, there are a lot of fascinating things in the Marie Kara on page 186. Leili is really on the mark. Marie Kara kedah b'pasuk akedaber Ephraim is safe. We'll just do that. Almost out of time, so just let's do this and we'll skip. Let's just do it very quick. Just do this and we'll stop. We'll do the Malbim tomorrow very quickly to read Marie Kara, because here's the part the title we started with today. Reseis. What is reseis? It means pachat. Kisha hear tis yiravim l'shlomo. He hears sis. He got angry. He was hot headed. Right. He was full of heat against Shlomo. Kemod ad Omar. What did Shlomo do? Shlomo, he built the Milo. The Milo was, that means Sogar, as parrots ear David of, he made an open area for Talmidei Chachamim, and Shlomo Melech, he took this open area and he closed it off for himself and his wife. What does this mean? So here is the Chazal. Kol Sheva Shonim Shebone Shlomo is based on Mikdash Lotoam Bohem Tam Yain. He was a very big tzad. Make no mistake about Shlomo Melech. He did not drink wine. He was a Purish, a Bal Musa. He was a Rishul Salanta. He was a Bal Musa. He did not drink wine for 7 years. The 7 years when he built the Beis Hamikdash, he did not indulge in, he's like a nausea. He did not indulge in the benefits of this world. Yain is always symbolic of the benefits that this world has to offer. And finally, when the day came to build the Beis Hamikdash, he was not accustomed to, his body was not accustomed to wine. So he made a mistake and he drank wine on the night and the eve of the inauguration of the Beis Hamikdash. And that was the night when he married the daughter of Taro. So it seems that Chazal is telling us that he was not, if he would have drank wine during the 7 years, then it would not have had an effect upon him. But because he was not accustomed, he was poyresh from Yayin, so his body was not ready for the shock of alcohol and the effect. He was not able to cope with the effect. He was not trained. You may say by Rav Chutney when liquor, you can swallow the liquor. There's an expression. What's the expression? The person knows how to drink a lot and is not affected. Rav Chutney was able to drink an enormous amount of wine. That's what they say, an enormous amount of wine, like water. He can just keep on drinking. By him, it took a lot. It took gallons and gallons for the Yotzei Sod. By him, he could just drink. So by the poor Mesibis, that's what he did.
The priest didn't watch.
He drank, and wine was nothing. It was like water to him. You can drink a gallon of alcohol like water. But the problem was, the people sitting around the table, if they would drink a revius of yayin, they would lose their minds because they're not accustomed. So he was sat around the table by the Mesiba. L'chaim! L'chaim! So when the Rebbe says L'chaim, the Hasidim, they drink a L'chaim. So the Rebbe drank a l'chaim. Everyone drank a l'chaim. 5 minutes later, l'chaim, another cup. Everyone drinks another cup. When the Rebbe makes a l'chaim, so the chosid makes a l'chaim. So he gave this the whole night. So and by him, it was nothing. But whenever the chassidim, they drank after 2-3 cups of wine, they were gone. And the more he made l'chaim, the more they were gone. What? So Shlomo HaMelech suffered from the same problem. He was not accustomed to Yayin. He drank the L'chaim on the night when he married Bas Parah. And what happened? He locked himself on Bas Parah b'beis milo. And what is the beis milo? As we mentioned, these words are the critical words which open up a world to understand the legitimacy of Rebbe Nevot and the chait of Shlomo, and what this whole world is all about. He says it right here, it's a chazal. Shehinichoy David Aviv Parutz. He left this open area open for public use. Likoneis bo Talmidei Chachamim. That was the problem. If this Milo would have been a place, a park, for children to play on the swings, or to play cards, or to play bingo, or maybe even, who knows, it was a center for Chesed. It was the center for Tomchei Shabbos. We need the Tomchei Shabbos building for my personal needs. So maybe he would not have been blamed. He would not have been criticized. Then Yeravim would have no legitimacy in criticizing. But being that this Mokim was miyuchad for Talmidei Chachamim to study Torah, and he shut it down, even for the most noble of causes, to bring Melech HaMashiach by creating a political alliance with Bas Paro, you're wrong, Shlomo. Yeravim is right. How dare you? That's right, you're deserving of criticism. Likame espay Talmidei Chachamim. That's what he did. The keys to the Beis Hamikdash were underneath his head. They have a parallel between Dan Ben Asina and Shlomo HaMelech. Both of them are the only two people in Tanakh, in Chazal, who had the keys under their head. And they could not be woken up. The guy in Ashkelon refused to wake up his father to get the keys in order to get the stones for the Urim V'Tumim. For the communication. What do you need for? Communication with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? These are the stones. They light up. And they tell you these stones are critical in order to communicate. When you have a question, what to do? You speak and Hashem answers you through the Urim V'Tumim. And who else had stone the keys to something that's under their head? Shlomo HaMelech. And no one can wake him up. So they were afraid to wake him up. He slept at Arba Shos. He woke up late. He woke up 10 o'clock. The first day, the first Tomit Shal Shachar was offered, Beis HaMikdash, was offered 10 o'clock when it should have been offered the beginning of the first hour, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, Zemanios. Therefore, he criticized him. How dare you lock up the Milo, make a palace out of it, and go to sleep there, and sleep late, and we have to come, and the Talmud Shal Shachar will be offered later. Look what he writes. Zocha. The criticism was correct. He was 100% on the mark in criticizing the Melech. No one is immune to criticism. Not even me. No one is immune to criticism. Not even Shlomo HaMelech. He anointed him. Just because Shlomo, he sinned a little bit. A kleina avera. He closed up the Milo. And what did Yoram ben Nevatu? He prevented Klal Yisrael from ever knowing what a Daf Gemara looks like. From ever even knowing what the Aleph Beis looks like. He, by worshiping of Avodah Zarah, he completely denied them. Shlomo only sinned a little bit. He sinned a lot. Sheheshim atzma b'ba'olim b'shnei agolim she'asa. He was guilty himself by erecting these two by making the agolim. Ulkach lokach b'avon in the process, he was taken in the sin. So Marikra very clearly explains what was the criticism. And he does not make any mention in the Marikara that there was any tinge of wrongdoing in criticizing Shlomo HaMelech. Now we have to discuss tomorrow. Tomorrow, this is one interesting thing we discuss tomorrow, is that there's a Stephen Rashi. Because yesterday we learned, in the last pasuk, going back to what we discussed today, we lose the good today, is the last of the previous parak, Hichis, yeah. Ephraim Tamurim, Rashi alludes to guilt. He did not criticize them correctly. You don't criticize the king in public. If you want to criticize the king, there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. You go and you go privately, when you bring in some chashuvim, you don't do it publicly. Rashi, the end of the parak says, Yerav ben Nevat was wrong. But Rashi, in the first pasuk of this parak, says, no, he was right. Doesn't say, he repeats Kimat the same thing.
He was right in what he did, wrong in
the way he did it, and how he did it, exactly. So why doesn't Rashi just say it like that? Why is Rashi breaking it up two worlds? The previous, end of the previous parak, Rashi says he was dead wrong. In this pasuk, he's like the Marie Kara, he doesn't say it in the same words. He was right. What's going on over here? Answer is, because Rashi is explaining the previous pasuk Tezvav, and now we have another pasuk. Indeed, look at that. There is a difference between the previous pasuk and this pasuk. It's presenting two perspectives regarding the same event. And that's a klal in life. Every single, there's no such thing as black and white. Everything has many shades of gray. Mm. Every single thing in life, there are many different dimensions. You're right and you're wrong. It's life is complex. And that's the difference between the end of the previous parak and this parak. Two perspectives on the same end. We'll believe that they continue this tomorrow.